Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Most Bible believers would almost certainly agree that John 3:16 is the golden text of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Apostle John emphasizes the same truth in his first epistle. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. John tells us that God is love, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he who dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. 1 John 4:16. You can see from these passages that Christianity, in contrast to some other world religions, is founded on love. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. If all that is true, and it unquestionably is, how can many who claim to be Christians manifest hatred toward their fellow men? For example, members of the Ku Klux Klan and other white supremacist groups, most of whom claim to be Christians, use their time, energy, and influence to discriminate against all who are not like them, especially blacks and Jews. Many of the radical racists think blacks are subhuman and Jews are mud people. They deny, both by their speech and by their actions, that all human beings are created equal. Their behavior not only violates the Declaration of Independence and the American Constitution, but more importantly, the Word of Almighty God. The Apostle Peter declared at the house of the Gentile Cornelius, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he who fears him and works righteousness is accepted of him." Acts 10:34-35. Since God is no respecter of persons, how can the followers of His Son practice racial and social discrimination? Most of us know that hatred of our fellow men, whatever their color or social standing or national origin, is a grievous sin against the God who made us, and before whom we shall stand in the judgment. The Apostle John explains God's viewpoint. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. 1 John 2:9-11. It would be difficult to find language that more precisely describes the hearts of those who are bigoted and biased toward people of other races or nationalities or social standings. Members of the Klan and of other white supremacist groups fall under the condemnation of these biblical passages. Tragically, in our politically correct culture, there are many who accuse us of hatred when we speak out against evil, especially popular evils. For example, if a preacher condemns abortion as a national shame, he will likely be accused of hating mothers. If he shows from the Scripture that homosexuality is contrary to the will of God, he will be criticized for hating homosexuals. If he proves from reliable historical sources, including the Quran, that Islam has created an atmosphere where violence proliferates, he will be condemned for hating Muslims. Although I speak out on all of these topics, I can assure you that I do not hate mothers who abort their children or the doctors who perform the abortions, nor do I hate homosexuals or Muslims. I often find it difficult to love certain kind of people because they're not very lovable. But I strive to love all men because I know God does and demands that I do. But does not the Bible teach that God hates? As a matter of fact, it does. But God does not hate people. He hates evil. Revelation 2 establishes that fact beyond dispute. The Lord commended the Ephesians for many admirable qualities: diligent labor, endurance, not fellowshipping those who were evil, and exposing those who were false apostles. The Lord then said, "But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." The Lord also told the Christians in Pergamos, "So you have also them who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." Revelation 2, 1 and 2, 6 and 15. I do not know who the Nicolaitans were, what they taught or what they practiced, nor for that matter does anyone else. But I know this, God hated their teaching and their practice. If God hated false teaching and immoral behavior, should we not have the same attitude? How can we be godly and not love what God loves and hate what God hates? Is that not what David had in mind when he wrote, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." Psalm 119, 104, 113, and 163. On January the 28th, 2001, I preached a sermon on hatred on this radio program. The title of the sermon was simply, Hatred. I received a request for a copy of the transcript, a request we always honor. The person who requested the transcript began his letter, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He underlined the word free and placed an exclamation point at the end of the sentence. Is he saying that I am not free because I believe God's image exists in all people, regardless of color or national origin or social standing? I know the truth of God's word on this very vital topic. That means I am free to honor God's truth on that topic. And I do honor it by respecting all people and striving to teach the gospel to all. I believe in the Lord's Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. I would be ashamed to believe and teach otherwise. The man who asked for the manuscript of the lesson on hatred says very plainly, "I need not read any further than the first few paragraphs to decide to discontinue reading." The very first paragraph of my lesson dealt with the dragging to death of a black man in Jasper, Texas. I also mentioned what occurs daily in Palestine between the Jews and the Palestinians. Is there any part of that paragraph that is incorrect or prejudicial? Do the men who dragged the black man to death in Texas hate black people? You know they do. Do the Jews and Palestinians hate each other? If they do not hate, I would like to know what they would have to do to show hatred toward one another. Why would my correspondent discontinue reading my transcript with the first few paragraphs unless he believes that some people are inherently inferior and not worthy of our respect? Does he agree with Hitler that some people do not deserve to live and to populate the earth with their kind? Does he share the hatred of some of the radical Muslims in the Sudan? The Sudan government has massacred over 1 million people who profess faith in Jesus Christ. Is my correspondent upset at me because I do not share his hatred of blacks and Jews? The letter writer offers this opinion. As long as your organization touts the party line of the left, you will continue to spread the fog of lies that covers this once great republic. What party line of the left am I touting? Never before has anyone accused me of touting the party line of the left. The accuser almost certainly refers to my endorsement of and support for loving all people, regardless of their background or current situation. Is that not what our precious Lord taught his disciples? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. John 13, 34 and 35. Did our Lord ever say, you are to love only people who are like you? Did he ever condemn the loving of people from different races or nations or socioeconomic backgrounds? If loving all people and working for their advancement means that I am touting the party line of the left, I plead guilty. But how many people of the left would agree with what I preach on this program or in the pulpit? Tragically, people of the left are almost as opposed to the faithful preaching of God's Word as the Klan, the Aryan Nation, the white supremacist groups, and similar radical organizations. The people of the true left would be amazed to know that anyone had the audacity to classify me with them. I agree that there are people in our nation who continue to spread a fog of lies that covers this once great nation. And who are those people? They are the ones who practice discrimination against anyone who differs from them. They are people like Hitler, Pol Pot of Cambodia, Timothy McVeigh, and other haters of Jews, blacks, and others who are different from the majority. I think it is fascinating that Adolf Hitler was present when Jesse Owens, the famous American black runner, won the 1936 Olympics in Germany. Hitler was very angry that Jesse Owens proved that blacks can excel in sports and in other fields. Hitler just knew that blacks were inherently inferior. He embraced Charles Darwin's evolutionary doctrine that blacks have not advanced to the same status as whites. Blacks and Jews, according to that doctrine, are not on a par with whites and do not deserve to live, or else they should be given a separate land of their own. They certainly should not be allowed to mix and mingle with the superior white race. How absolutely unreasonable, un-American, un-Christian, and just plain morally stupid. The one observation in the letter that left me breathless and upset was this. The government bombed that building in Oklahoma City. What government? The United States government? Can you believe any reasonable person would make such an absolutely groundless statement? Do you remember hearing some of our older people say, there is none so blind as he who will not see? What would be the reason our government would bomb the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building? There were great numbers of innocent people, including children, in that building. There were also many federal employees in the building. What goal would the government be trying to achieve? The man's accusation makes no sense from any viewpoint. Besides, Timothy McVeigh boasted of bombing the federal building in Oklahoma City. Does my correspondent realize that such foolish observations help to destroy men's faith in their government? Will God hold him accountable for his efforts to undermine our government? I pointed out in my lesson on hatred that many websites on the Internet promote hatred toward blacks, Jews, communists, and anyone else the hate groups do not like. I then stated, the fact that children operate many of these websites ought to be troubling to all Americans. The viciousness of those children can hardly be imagined. It shows what parents and other leaders in their communities are doing to the next generation. Will the hatred of the children erupt into rebellion and violence as occurred in Littleton, Colorado? There can hardly be any doubt about it. The letter I am reviewing affirms, it is not the parents who teach hatred, but the politically correct few who have an agenda that you must condone by the slant of your article. Are there so-called politically correct people who teach hatred? The answer is a resounding yes. Many in the media and in academia promote hate toward what they call fundamentalism, although most people in the media and in academia could not define religious fundamentalism if their lives depended on it. Whether deliberately or otherwise, many liberals confuse American fundamentalism with Islamic fundamentalism, such as exists in Iran and in Iraq. If media personnel and liberal professors would only do their homework, they would not make such inexcusable blunders. There are parents who are members of the Klan, of the white supremacist groups, of some of the militias and of the Aryan nations who teach their children to hate. To deny that is to be absolutely ignorant of what is occurring in our nation. Those parents teach their children to despise blacks, Jews, and Hispanics. They also prepare them to use deadly force against those racial and social groups. Children are even encouraged to wear the hoods and other paraphernalia of the Klan. I wonder if the violent boys in Jonesboro, Arkansas, were in some way affiliated with some of the militia groups in Arkansas. I know this, when children are taught to hate and to use deadly weapons to promote their agenda, that is a very serious and deadly situation. The truth of the matter is, everyone, including the letter writer, has an agenda. His agenda seems to be fighting against his own government and endorsing hatred toward the groups with whom he disagrees. Of course, I have an agenda, namely, to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to bring lost sinners into the Lord's church where there is salvation. A part of a Christian's agenda must be to worship God regularly, to seek and to save the lost, and to help the sick and the needy. Does the West Fayetteville Church of Christ, where I preach, seek to accomplish those scriptural goals? Our elders have set before us the work they have planned for us to do. We have wonderful cooperation among the members in doing God's work. Have we achieved perfection yet? You know we have not, and will not, but we are working to honor our Lord in doing His will. My correspondent writes, "Until you are ready to deal with absolute truth, you too will be at work for the Antichrist system that is slowly yet successfully overtaking the people of this nation." Where do we find absolute truth? Do we find it in the hate literature that many of the radical groups in this country sell? Much of the literature sold at gun shows and on similar occasions is absolutely filled with hate and anger and bitterness. I'm not condemning gun shows, but I know some of the trash many racists are selling at those shows. Where else can one find such obnoxious books as the Turner Diaries and the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion? Richard Aubain's book, American Militias, Rebellion, Racism, and Religion, says that the book called The Protocols was exposed more than 70 years ago as forgery, and yet many racists are recommending it as if it were God's truth. It really is the devil's lie. My friends, I know where absolute truth is. Only in the inspired Word of Almighty God. Jesus affirmed, as I read to you a few minutes ago, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. Our Lord also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. If you want to know what God demands of you to become a Christian, you can find it only in the Bible. If you want to know what He demands of you as a Christian, there is no other source except the Word of God. If you want to know what God thinks of all human beings, black, white, Jew, Gentile, male, and female, there is one source, and only one source, the will of God as revealed in the Bible. Will you please give attention to these powerful questions? Is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God who shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Romans 2:29-30. Would I be doing an injustice to the divine record by asking, is He the God of white Americans only? Is He not the God of Jews, blacks, and all other people? Yes, of blacks, of Jews, and of all other people. Please listen to two other passages from the great Roman letter. "But glory, honor, and peace to every man who works good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God." Romans 2:11. The Greek word translated respect of persons literally means to judge by the face or the appearance. God does not judge by the color of a man's skin, but by the content of his character. The second passage from Romans reads, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all who believe, for there is no difference. Romans 3:21-22. Did you take note of Paul's use of the word all? The word difference in the King James Version should be rendered distinction. There is no distinction among those who believe in Jesus Christ. Race, color, and such peripheral matters have no significance at all. Absolutely none. The letter writer says the Antichrist system, with which he identifies me, is slowly yet successfully overtaking this great nation. I have no idea what he means by the Antichrist system, but I know that moral evil poses a great threat to the United States and to many other Western countries. But I have doubts that he and I are on the same wavelength. I mean such evils as abortion, homosexuality, corruption in government and in business, and bias toward people who differ from us. I suspect from reading his letter that he has in mind giving respect to blacks and Jews. He almost certainly thinks the nation is going to the dogs because President Bush appointed 3 blacks, 1 Japanese, and 1 Hispanic to his cabinet. Why did not the president appoint genuine Americans, white Americans? The man closes his letter by writing, You are a part of the problem, not the solution to it. I would not deny him his biased opinion, but I strive to teach all people only what the Bible says. It alone is our guide in moral and spiritual matters. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless and keep you.